Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
you. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live. Welcome back to the show. This is PT Pintcast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories in the world of physical therapy. I'm Drew McKay. I'll be your host tonight, broadcasting live from the illustrious Aureus Medical Studios, also known as my bedroom. Find them online at AUREUSmedical.com. They're the leaders in hashtag Travel PT. Great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about something super niche. And you might say, there's a physical therapist for that. There's a physical therapist for that. I mean, great. Talk about marching athletes. We're going to dig into that. Before we get into our guest today, I want to remind you, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever quality or quite shady podcasts are heard. That's where we're going to be. And now video casting is on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at PT Pintcast on the socials. There it is right there. Drop a comment, drop questions. If you're watching this video thing live with our guest and you want to know like what or follow up, you want to be part of the show, that's what you can do in the comments below on Twitter, on Facebook. Also, let us know where you at. Where are you listening? We love when people either watching live or giving the replay, let us know where they're watching from and just catching the broadcast. So be part of the show. We'll say what's up. Now, let's get to it. Let's get to the nitty gritty. Our next guest is combined his passions of health and performing music. 2016, he was the winner of the PPS Student Business Concept Contest. After graduating PT school, he began marching health and has since pioneered a movement of health and wellness of marching bands, drum corps, and the marching arts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Elliot Cleveland, let's bring him in here. There hey, it is. Man. We bring your own cheering squad.
I appreciate that. It's very flattering.
Honestly, in this world of like everything's like distance and working from home and stuff like that, I'll just be sitting here on a Zoom call with just colleagues, and I'll just be like, anybody need to pick me up? Hey, you guys are great. Woo! Yeah, and even if
you don't get enough of that, even though it's fake,
it's like still motivational. So I keep the crowd noise like really, really close. Welcome to the show. Let's get the first questions out of the way first. What are you drinking tonight? What do you got there?
Straight from the Brita.
I like it.
I would normally have Angry Orchard, but I realized I forgot to go grab it. So
do you know where Angry Orchard is squeezed or cidered or whatever? Do you know where that's from? Do you
know?
From Walden, New York, where I'm sitting right now. That's your drink. I like that.
That is my drink. I'm gluten intolerant, so I can't go with the normal beer selection, but Angry Orchard offers me a very good product.
It's right down the road. So maybe next time, if you're in the neck of the woods, I'll make sure we meet up there. I'm doing something from the Newburgh Brewing Company. A friend dropped off a couple of beers from the Newburgh. I like to drink local, so it's like right down the street from Angry Orchard. First round brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, single source for PTs looking for certification and personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. And the equipment you need to apply it properly in clinical practice, Johnny Owens and Kyle Kimbrell and the team over there, they're just good at it. This is their jam. OwensRecoveryScience.com, and they have their new podcast on iTunes called the Owens Recovery Science Podcast. I have no idea where they got that name from, but brilliant. Daniel is sipping on a Daisy Cutter Pale Ale from Chicago, Illinois, and he's going marching athletes, ! So let's start with your superhero backstory, Elliot. Like, what's your background, within the profession and also out, because you brought something out in?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in high school, I got into working out, I got into fitness, and I was simultaneously in love with drumline. And I was the drumline captain at my high school. When I wasn't drumming, I was working out. And when I wasn't doing either of those two things, I would go study if I had to. But after that, I went to Clemson University, and I did the same things there. I was pre-physical therapy, graduated with a biology degree, which was not, you know, my favorite thing ever. I actually hated biology. I was a Spanish minor, though. I use that more than I use my biology degree every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I speak to just about all the Hispanic patients that come in the clinic. So But I was the drumline captain at Clemson and taught several of the drumlines, high school drumlines in the area while I was a college student, and continued to learn more and more about the human body and movement and health and wellness during that time. And then when I got into PT school, I took a year off from the drumming world, because you get into that first year of PT school and you're just, trying to survive. But I kind of had withdrawals from it. When I was in college, I did something more at the world-class ranks. I was on a drumline and drum corps that toured out of Atlanta. We covered 30 states, did 33 shows during the summertime. And then I did another group that met on the weekends during college. So I was doing this literally all week, every week, 7 days a week. And after that first year of PT school, I said, I got to get back into it. I got to start drumming again. So I went to Wando High School, where they actually have one of the top 10 marching bands in the country. It's in Charleston, South Carolina, technically Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
And I just started kind of volunteering at first. I had a phone call with their director and asked if they needed someone to help out. So they're really, really good. So they were really slow in the hiring process as far as making sure it was the right fit.
Smart.
And yeah, very smart move on their part. But we fit like a glove, and I was the right person. They were the right band that needed my skill set. And I taught drums for a year, just drums, and loved every minute of it. I could have done that, you know, for the next few years had I not moved and changed locations geographically. But I ended up staying there for 4 years. I taught all the way through PT school. That was the way that I made my money on the side in PT school. I was not only doing, you know, their rigorous 4 days a week of practice, including all day Saturdays and traveling, but also taking on like 8 to 10 students a week
as
private lesson students during PT school. So my grades weren't the best those semesters.
But you got out.
Yeah, I got out, and some professors had to help me out along the way. But I started talking to my professors in the process, because in year one, I was looking around and I realized these kids are top 10 in the country. When I was at Clemson and when I was in the upstate of South Carolina, we thought they were just like God's gift to music, because I was the only kid from my high school, a large high school in South Carolina, to make All-State. They drove 3 charter buses of kids to All-State. So there's like 150 kids in their total programs top to bottom. And I get out there and these kids are like soft. They couldn't handle the heat. They would get hurt. What they thought was hurt, which was actually just them working their muscles in ways they hadn't before, because they weren't used to being in athletics or having a physically demanding background. So between my first and second year as the drumline instructor there, I started talking to the staff and the band director. And I said, hey, I'm going through PT school. I've got this health and wellness background. Let me bring a little bit of that to this marching band that is already awesome. And he said, okay, I'll give you an hour, 4 days during the preseason just to start, because we're in the South and things move slowly in the South. If we try to go all guns a-blazing, there's going to be a revolt here, and it's going to get nixed. So we did that the first year, and it started to change the culture quickly. Like, these kids had a desire already, because they're already performing at a high level.
Right.
And they tasted something that they felt like was going to make them better. They latched onto it. So the second year of that, which was my final year of PT school, they came to me, the directors and staff, and said, we're going to start 15 minutes early every rehearsal. And I want you to take them 15 minutes every time that you're here and do what we started that previous year, just in smaller increments, and get them in shape throughout the season and do some injury prevention measures so that we're not getting the shin splints and the ankle sprains and the hamstring strains that we've been dealing with and having kids miss rehearsal and really linger throughout the year. Because there's no athletic trainer out there for them.
Right.
There's no physical therapist for them. They're really on their own and hoping that a parent volunteer happens to have some medical experience and be able to give them some attention. So we created what I call the 15-minute marching band workout. It was a 3-day a week rotation that worked on a different skill every day and slowly built that up throughout phases, just like in your rehab phases in the clinic. We had phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. during their 4 months of the season. And by the end of the season, I've got these really cool videos on our social media of the students actually being the ones to take over and lead the program.
Smart behavior change.
Yeah. One of my biggest passions when I was coming up through the high school and college ranks was I had a lot of awesome mentors pour into me as a young person and change my path a little bit and teach me how to be a servant leader and how to actually influence people in a positive manner. So our big push with Marching Health is that, yes, it's health and wellness, but 50% of it is actually student leadership development and investing in young people.
Wow. That is great. That is a great story. I mean, I love all this. You won, and I mentioned it in your intro, you won a PPS contest as well for, what was that, like idea contest, and you brought it to fruition?
Yeah. So my third year, going into year three of physical therapy school, I'd seen this out there before, the private practice section having a student business concept contest.
Yep.
And we had, during the summer, our business class, this is a really funny story. My classmates are going to laugh if they're listening to this. We got in groups of four and you had to come up with a business for physical therapy. And I was with three students who had 4.0s at that time. I was, you know, bottom 10 in the class and needed them to help bring me up. Maybe the professor planned that to help me out a little bit. So I pitched my idea to them and it got shut down.
Ooh.
And we did their idea and ended up getting a B. So they got one of their only Bs, and they refused to do mine. So I started seeking some mentors, some business mentors in the community. One was my mother-in-law, who's a phenomenal physical therapist and physical therapy business owner. And then I got in touch with a couple of the private practice owners and got one that was really bent on helping me out. He was just very good to me. Oh, Sam, for those tuning in, this is my Bernie Doodle, Sam.
We like when dogs show up, so it's always welcomed.
He's a therapy dog, so we took him through therapy dog school. He was in the clinic with me full-time for a little while in my first year of practice. So anyways, I got some good feedback and great help from them and presented what I called at the time musician's health. That was the business concept for this. And, you know, good Lord willing, I ended up winning the contest and they flew me out to Las Vegas, got me in with all the PTs out there. I got on Jared Carter's podcast as a student. Met a lot of the top business owners at the time and became a part of the membership development committee, actually, as a student. So I saw the inner workings of it and had several assignments where I'd call business owners around the country as a student and got to just have conversations with them about what their business model is, how they're set up. And they put me on like the 52nd floor of the Wynn Hotel and Casino. My bathroom at the Wynn was bigger than my studio apartment in Charleston as a student. Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah. I was living the dream for about a week there at the private practice conference that year.
They know how to throw a party. I'll tell you that. If you're going to pick one section to go to the party, the private practice knows how to structure a party. I'm not saying they're the best party, or I'm just saying they know how to throw the best party, right? So there are some crazy partiers in different sections, but the private practice section knows how to organize a party. That's a great story, man. Kudos. We'll give you some cheers on that. Kudos on you for, I love the fact that your classmates were like, nah, man, we're not going to go your direction. And they grabbed a B. And then you go and take that idea and you win the whole damn thing from the private practice section not long after that. I love that juxtaposition, Rare.
Oh yeah. We laugh about it still.
That's such a cool story for your background. But now I want to make sure we don't skip over the basics, right? So the basics are super important. I grew up in the Northeast. You were relegated to do the marching band. Like, my best friend was a saxophone player and he was like mandated to do band. Like, I think in the Northeast, it's a culture thing. Like, it definitely wasn't the same thing as I saw when I did some prerequisite courses at Coastal Carolina University. And you're talking about Clemson and marching bands. It was not a thing that people, you know, strove towards. I feel like it's on a different level in the South, maybe other places too. But for people out there who maybe weren't experienced in marching band or marching health, like, give us the breakdown. Cause like, all my only experience right now is halftime at my high school football games and then the movie Drumline, and then that's it.
And that is most people's experience.
That's it.
both of those are really difficult places to pull from in helping them understand the actual difficult challenges that the kids face out there and the students. So there was a study done, and this was done almost 15 years ago at this point, where there's an event called Drum Corps, and that's basically the major leagues of marching band, if you didn't know that that existed. And that activity starts in May and goes through August. So predominantly it takes college students and some high school students that are very talented. And they move do spring training for a month, which is 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. rehearsals for a month, every day. Not taking weekends off. Like, you go to a high school or college campus, you live in the dorms or you live on a gym floor, and you rehearse like that. And then after that, you go tour, and you tour almost the entire country. So I said we went to 30 states over the course of the next 60 days. So it's an intense travel schedule. And you sleep on the bus at night as you're traveling to the next place, and you hope that you can get off and go into a basically you're going to the school that you're about to practice at, because you have to find a football field to be able to rehearse.
Right.
So sleep in the gym floor of that school. It is not a glorious lifestyle by any means. So there's just thinking about that health aspects. There's so many things that we have to break down: proper sleep, proper hydration, proper nutrition. They have food trucks that go with them, but they're nonprofits, so they have to feed 150 mouths of just the members themselves, who are running around with heavy equipment for 12 hours a day. So how do you meet that calorically? Because those kids burn about 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day usually. That's just that side of it. We also have the skincare side of it that's very important. You have the, as far as being in the sun,
sure,
for that many hours a day throughout the hottest 3 months of the year. Hydration is a huge component. Fatigue is one of the most important parts that we're starting to learn about and dig into a little bit more in the activity, and making sure we take more time off and pace our actual rehearsals, because there's still some of the old school mentality that has been there in most sports of, come on, let's do it again. Can't get water until we get this right. Play right, or whatever that may be for your sport. And then you have the component of being that physically active for that many hours, that many days in a row, causing overuse injuries or traumatic injuries where a kid slips and falls, and we've had ACL tears, we've had concussions, we've had broken bones, all of the above. There's a lot of props that a lot of people don't understand if they've never actually seen a drum corps show, meaning there's ramps out there on the field. Literally one drum corps who won the world championship a couple of years ago had American Ninja Warrior style ramps. And their show was called Downside Up. And it basically took everything you thought you knew and flipped it upside down while playing an instrument and, you know, having that perfect symmetry in their formations on the field and their drill. And they would literally be playing their solos with staggered Ninja Warrior obstacle courses, running up and down these ramps in step with each other, hitting these crossing counts on a third of a second, where everyone's legs were moving at the same time and scissoring together, and then jumping down from those things. So yeah, it's more like Broadway or Cirque du Soleil with music to it and musicians doing that. It's not the typical, you know, high school band performance that you may have been exposed to a long time ago. Now, there are some high schools that are starting to push towards that standard. And that's really where we have been trying to fill the gap with as much free education as possible to these groups.
If my man was wearing this, I would be all over him.
Sorry. I was trying to bring up the drum line in the background because I've got to picture this. Like, what was the name of this school?
Okay. I'll search Blue Coats.
Right. I think that's what I got. 2016. Is that,
yep.
Is that what it looks like? Okay. I think we're going to be able to bring that up in a second. I've just got to see this. And the funny part
is one of the groups we work with.
The advertisement for the YouTube channel is not something I would want on this show. So I'm trying not to have that. But wow, this is crazy. If this is the right thing that we're looking at, looks like this is like a rehearsal or something like that. But is this?
This is indoors. This is them warming up before a show, just getting their hands warm.
Gotcha. So this is not going to be the one with like the ramps and whatnot.
No, but you could scroll down in the search.
Gotcha.
I would just type in Blue Coats 2016 show.
have to do this because I can't picture this. This blows my mind. Like, because I'm, is this it right here on the top? Full show multicam? I'm guessing.
Yeah. And so there's copyright to this, which is why in the title it says, cake recipe.
What do you mean? Is this so like someone?
Somebody's like, it's a cake recipe. It's not copyrighted material I posted. Oh,
gotcha, gotcha. All right. So holy, is it like a half pipe?
Yeah, that's one of them.
All right. So I'm going to scroll through. My halftime show was a bunch of people. And if they walked in a line, we were pretty impressed and they didn't slam
it. Look how fast they're running. Those drums in the back just came down off that half pipe.
Wow. So, all right. Ballpark this for me. Like how much?
Did you see that rotation there?
Yeah. They're going to come down that half pipe. That is dangerous.
Yeah. So they have to learn how to slide in sync together.
Wow. How much does a drum weigh? Like when you're walking with a snare drum, like ballpark it for me. Cause they can't be light.
It depends on which one you have. So the quad drums, and it also depends on the brand.
Right. Back here.
One brand of quads, which is the four big drums. And then usually one or two tiny drums on the inside of it. Has about 40 to 45 pounds to it.
Yeah.
So and when you're wearing that the entire rehearsal day. So back,
then you got things like tubas and you got bass drums, which I'm guessing, 60, 70 pounds more?
They're different sizes. So if you look at the bass line in the back, that's the big to small drums that you can see the circles on the screen. The bigger ones are in that same ballpark around 40 to 50. The smaller ones are not. They're much lighter weight in the more like 15 pound probably range. And the snare drums are probably somewhere between 10 to 20 as well.
But I was shown, and they were
moving those props at the end there.
Right. I was told cause I never boxed. Right. So I was like, well, how hard could it be? I remember I said those stupid words, which I'll never say again. How hard could that be? And then someone said, just pretend you're jumping rope and hold your hands up for 3 or 4 minutes. And by the minute and a half mark, you're like, oh God. So playing a trumpet, I imagine, is pretty similar because that's heavier than just holding your hands up, right? And you're doing this for, you're telling me, 12 hours. So the PTs in the audience, no idea what marching health is at all, but you're just picturing all you're doing is going through the physical demands. You're telling me about travel schedule, lack of sleep, crappy nutrition, heat in South, in the South and South Carolina. This is all a recipe for disaster.
Oh, it's absolutely, a healthcare provider's nightmare. And when you look at them running across the field like that, they can't just run. There's a technique to it. And it gets certain muscle groups that you wouldn't normally expect athletes to be working to be extremely active. Like your dorsiflexors are on religiously, and they have to have so much eccentric control, more than just the normal gait or sprinting cycle would have, because they have to visually create the same lines on for your eye's perception as everyone around them. And then the motor control aspect is what a lot of people don't understand. When they were moving at some of the speeds that they were at just now, it was, getting into 180 beats a minute, 200 beats a minute. So there's like that staggered half pipe I was talking about.
Right. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? And keep in mind, we don't have any audio on right now. They're playing music. Like
they're exhaling the entire time.
Right.
So, and throwing flags and rifles, 20 feet in the air and doing dance choreographic visuals and exploding. You see the bass drummer pushing backwards there that fast with 40 pounds on him. That challenges the body in ways that few sports do. It's almost the specificity of thinking of a baseball pitcher. How specific their internal and external rotation becomes to that shoulder is very similar to these marchers in their lower bodies and upper bodies. So they rehearse typically 9 a.m. to noon, take an hour lunch break, come back, do it 3 more hours or 4 more hours in the afternoon, take an hour dinner break, and do it for 3 or 4 more hours in the evening.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. And then on a show day, you have one or two rehearsals in the morning and then travel and go to the show that night, which they're like you saw there, they're in some big time domes. Like that's the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. They go to San Antonio and perform in that dome. Sometimes in New York, sometimes in, I think I was in Minnesota on their football field. So been in the Georgia Dome many times.
That's cool.
South here, but yeah, there's a lot of physical demands that you don't think about. And the,
I didn't know just because I wasn't experienced, but the fact that like you exist, I was like, well, there's got to be some more to it. And that's where I wanted to frame it up with our audience, which is physical therapists. And you're speaking two languages right there pretty fluently, which is what these people are doing, you know, musically or, you know, in terms of presentation or performance, but also these physical demands. I mean, as Daniel's saying, super endurance athletes. I mean, that's, you know, 9 hours, 12 hours of presentation doing this. And oh, by the way, they're playing with musical instruments, which I could not do for 10 seconds. Never mind, 12 hours. So I remember I told my brother about an hour ago. I was like, hey, I'm doing this interview tonight with a guy who does like marching band PT. He's like, what? How does that work? And we get into this area of like niche influencing. I don't know if this could have existed 15 years ago or 10, 15 years ago in terms of like the internet, but like you, I mean, where you are in the South anyway, like this is a thing. This is a full on passion, as you've also displayed with what you were doing in terms of traveling the country in the summers and sleeping on gym floors and just getting it done because this is what you wanted to do. But now you mentioned the PPS contest you won. You flipped this in. This is your gig, man. This is your jam.
Yeah. So fortunately, I hadn't quit my day job yet prior to the pandemic. So, you know, I'd done a lot of praying before that happened. And fortunately, I stuck around, didn't try to go full time yet. But I'll just take you through kind of the graduation timeline. The day after I graduated, I had written a blog and I knew I wanted to start this. And I said, you know, if 30 people read my blog, I'll feel great about it. And I posted it and it reached 75,000 people.
Wow. What did you say?
It was called Two Muscles Every Marching Percussionist Needs. And when you look at what we were talking about, those guys and girls with drums on that are that heavy, it was kind of mind blowing to a lot of them that they'd never heard of multifidus.
Wow.
And you know, some of these physical therapy, jargon that we throw out there and how to strengthen those muscles so that when you do strap up and put those drums on, your body's ready for that. So I posted that blog and that one went viral and I said, okay, I got to do something to follow that up. I'd created a website on my own. It was garbage. I had a social media page that was pretty abysmal as well. And I was just super stoked about it though.
Yeah.
So, I created a second blog and gosh, I don't even remember what the title was for that one, but it reached 40 or 50,000 people. And so I said, okay, we're knocking on the door and people are asking. So we've got to start serving these people in a much bigger way than I thought. And like I said about the PBS concept contest, I'd called it Musician's Health. Fortunately, one of the kids that I was teaching privately, so this goes back to that me teaching 8 to 10 kids in my weeknights when I should have been studying in PT school, one of them had a dad who was a lawyer. And this guy had started a law firm that only defends cyclists. And he did it about 15 or 20 years ago. It's called Bike Law. If any of you are a cyclist and you want to make sure you're protected, go to them. He texted me and he said, I need to take you out to lunch because I don't think you know what you're doing. I said, okay, let's meet. So I went over to a place in downtown Charleston where all the great food in life is.
It was like
two little places from his house. And so we sat down and he said, look, you got to stop. What's the goal of this? Because my goal at that time was like a telehealth component where I'm going to treat traveling rock stars on the road kind of thing. And the marching band component was just going to be the marketing to the local community. And then I would be a specialist for all the musicians in the area because Charleston is a very musical area. There's orchestras, there's musicians that come in and play, there's schools of music. He said, no. Pink Floyd does not want Elliot Cleveland and his polo showing up on their tour bus. They want like a yoga instructor or somebody more holistic treating them. You need to go target the people that you represent the best and the people that you are. So what you need to figure out what that looks like, and you need to figure out what their internal struggles are, what their challenges at home are. You need to know what TV shows they're watching on Netflix. You need to be able to literally draw out this person that you want to serve, because that's what you're talking about. Like at the end of the day, we're physical therapists. We love serving people and delivering our skill set to them because they need it. So I could tell you my ideal person to a T, what they deal with every single day, what their day-to-day schedule is, what they feel in their bodies when they are done with the rehearsal, also when rehearsal starts, during that entire rehearsal span, what happens after rehearsal when they need to go home and they have to eat, study, shower, and cram all this in because they're doing a marching band schedule that's really 5 days a week. And then figure out how you deliver content to them in the most accessible way possible that is on the terminology of an eighth grade trumpet player. So my crutch in PT school was the fact that I could not take some of these massive words and really complicated science components and talk about them fluently or in depth in that same terminology. But my superpower, I say now, is the fact that I can talk about those things on a third grade level. And that is what helps me reach the eighth grade trumpet player or the seventh grade percussionist that's just learning how to hold drumsticks. And now I'm about to throw a drum on his back, or he's about to go stand out in the heat for 12 hours that next day, or the junior high school color guard person who has knee issues because nobody told him that running around jumping and throwing a flag at the same time without having proper landing skills or proper lower body strength is going to cause some knee problems.
Yeah. I had to give you a boom shakalaka on that. I mean, you're literally just merging like all the worlds I live in too, which is like, listen like your audience talks, talk like your audience listen. You know, that lawyer guy that sat you down was like, listen, you're aiming at the wrong market. Like, aim at the people that you speak their language. You told me you had a Spanish minor, right?
Yep. So
aim at the people, the language that you speak, whether it's Spanish or marching health. Like, don't be aiming at someone that doesn't. You're going to walk in and, like you said, you don't make sense here, but you make perfect sense on a field with a marching band and a bunch of those athletes. And they will notice that like that. You know, a rock band, if you were to walk in, would be like, I don't know who this guy is, but he didn't know me. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before we hit record tonight. We had an episode about like identifying your audience. It was Craig Pfeiffer and Sean Bagby talking about like your avatar, right? So you were trying to draw up this avatar of like these rock bands that you were going to do telehealth with. But you probably couldn't do that as well as you could exactly to the moment, to the second, to the calorie, to the exercise of a marching athlete. And that's the direction you should go in. So kudos for that guy for kind of being like, you need to come to lunch with me because you're screwing up. And kudos for you for listening and paying attention to what he was saying and how he was saying it. So
absolutely.
That's brilliant.
And he and I touch base all the time now. Good. And he's one of my biggest mentors in business and good friends now. And, you know, I'm great friends with his son and fortunate to be able to influence the next generation as well.
So. All right. So what's in the future? You know, COVID's just putting a weird spin on everything, right? But I mean, you know, is this going to be your full-time gig in the future? Because I mean, when you write a blog post and it gets to 75,000 views, I don't care when you want to poo-poo that. Go write something and see if you can get 75 views. Never mind 75,000, right? This podcast has been on the air for almost 5 years. We broke 100,000 downloads in 1 month last month. It took 5 years. Everybody's like, you're an overnight success. I'm like, well, that's 5 years of overnights. So where's this going for you? I am terribly interested.
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer to that at the moment. I've got some plans, you know, in the back of my mind for where I want it to go. So after I graduated and I wrote those blogs, I still didn't, even after sitting down with him, I didn't necessarily know where it was going to go. But what it's turned into has become more of me and my team doing clinics for high schools and colleges and taking them for about a half a day pretty much, and teaching them step by step what the season has to look like. So it's not me on the sidelines doing physical therapy. That's not really where
that's scalable.
Right. It's not scalable, and it's not something that they have the money for. These are band boosters. These are nonprofit organizations as well. And you don't have as many injuries. I mean, you don't have the injuries to fill a full day. Just like in a PT clinic, you market to the football teams and the soccer teams, but they aren't filling your entire day necessarily for the average clinic. But I think it's something I will tell you this calendar year, our goal was to do 100 clinics in May, June, July, and August.
Do 100 clinics? Oh, that's a lot. How many people are on your team?
So this is a fun story. I did a year of practice in physical therapy,
right,
in Charleston, and became a clinic director about 6 months in, largely due to the marketing skills that I developed along the way. And then I realized I want to get further specialized. So I needed to go do a residency. And I got into this phenomenal residency with ATI that was in the Greenville, South Carolina area, where they have a sports and an orthopedic residency that are interwoven. And there was a gap between that start date and when I really wanted to end at the current clinic. And I said, I'm just going to start this and see where it goes. So I went and toured for a month and went all over the country, Texas to New York, doing these half-day clinics for groups. And I got to residency, which is now in the upstate of South Carolina, and I'm still getting to work with Clemson's marching band because I have very strong ties to them still. Sure. And teaching their drumline. And one of my good now friends, but at that time he was almost like a previous student or little brother to me, was the drumline captain. He's pre-med. So I said, look, man, why don't you intern with me? Start writing some blogs for me. I'm about to go in residency. When I'm in residency, it's going to go through the next summer, the next wave of people that are going to be asking me to do this. I want to train you over the next year to go do this for me. And then the color guard captain as well hopped on that because she wanted to go to occupational therapy school.
Good and so, day, man.
That summer, we had between May, or really between April and August, 50 clinics that they went out and did across the country, straight out of college. I was able to pay them way more than they would have made working a job at, you know, kind of like a rehab tech position or something like that, where you're not yet in school. And they got a lot of hands-on experience, a lot of public health education experience,
communication,
motivation, understanding of different societal norms and socioeconomic statuses of different schools. And really, when you get in, anyone who's out there who's been in public education knows what you see once you actually get into the schools. And that really has helped them out professionally. And one of them is still on with me to this day. And he's, at this point, he's done probably 75 clinics for me.
Wow.
But we were planning on doing 100 this summer across the country. So we spanned last year from Long Island to Houston to San Diego, and everywhere in between. So God's good. He's, you know, given me this vision and goal. And, you know, if I ever need to step away from it, if it's time to put it on hold, I'm okay with that. But I'm enjoying it while it lasts and having a lot of fun being able to help people that I know need it. And, that I also identify with personally.
That's a PT, right? You could take the marching athlete out of that and put any other human being, and it's the same thing, but you are focusing, you're doubling down, you're niching down, which again, doesn't make any sense until it does. And then it makes perfect sense. I mean, I just gave a talk last week at the University of Lynchburg, and by at the University of Lynchburg, I mean, I was in my bedroom and they were in their bedrooms or wherever they were watching. And I literally just said, like, this podcast came about because I connected two dots, which made no sense whatsoever, right? No offense, man, but marching athletes and physical therapy makes more sense than radio DJ physical therapy. But it really is just saying, how do I bring my skills and my passion? Because your skills and your passion, they come with you, whether you don't have to pack them. They're always with you. And you think they're super basic and they don't make any sense until you're like, oh, like when we were learning subjective exam in PT school, I was literally like, everyone was like kind of nervous and like, what do I ask next? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you ask next. Like, you have to listen first. The first question is, what's up? Tell me about you. And then like, well, what's next? I go, I don't know. Did you listen to the answer yet? And they're like, well, no, but how do I know what to ask next? I'm like, you don't. You have to listen. But that's what I realized. The super basic thing was, that's what I did for 15 years. But you being able to know exactly what a marching athlete is thinking and doing and experiencing because you did it, lived it, experienced it, but you also love it. And now you get to bring this other dot into it, which is this physical therapy aspect. Like, hey, all those things that could go wrong, you're talking the talk. So they're able to listen and go, he knows what he's talking about with marching. And he sounds, I don't know what the hell these words are, what the hell metipitus is, but it sounds like that looks legit. I just Googled it. It's a thing. And that's exactly why people are going to gravitate towards you, because you're like, hey, if you can solve my problem, I will give you the most valuable thing in the world, which is my time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that first year when I was teaching the drumline, the band director, his wife is a devout Catholic, and she'd given him this little quote that sat on his wall. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, you know, God's not looking for the perfect person with the perfect skill set. He's looking for you with what you have. And I just kept seeing that every time I walked in his office that whole first year. And then by the end of the year is when it dawned on me, like, this is the skill set that I have that I can bring to these people. And it was a large school. There were 200 kids in that band. Wow. So how can I influence those kids in a positive way and just offer what I have? Like I said, I was not a great PT student, but I knew enough to be able to help them at the time and get them to the next step. And that's why I went on and did a residency, so I can, you know, learn and keep developing my craft. But yeah, it's about being willing to serve, being willing to step out and take action. And that is where a lot of people freeze. They aren't willing to be vulnerable. I've actually started coaching some PTs on this recently. And when you do step out into that vulnerability and just say, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I've got and what I want to do, then that people take notice and they start to say that, okay, I can get on board with what you're doing here. That's where you can make a difference.
Big time. Yeah, I was in a meeting just yesterday where I wasn't actually sure why I was in the meeting. You know, this is for my day job. And I was like, we were going around the room introducing ourselves. And I'm like, I'm Jimmy. I'm not exactly sure how I fit into this equation, but I will guarantee you I'll bring you much enthusiasm and I will give you everything I've got. And honestly, like when you're putting a team together, right? I mean, I talked about this with radio stations, but this is a sports team. It's like you can have some really talented individuals, but if they're not going to try their hardest and they don't care, it's kind of like, man, that's wasted talent, right? They say hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I'd rather have an entire team of people who are like, hey, man, I'm not the best, but I will work my ass off and I will give you everything I got. I'm like, you know what? I'll take every one of them and all you talented guys who are lazy, you guys can stay home because I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you 9 times out of 10 with that attitude. So that's great that you're doing all that. Wow. The fact that all these things are lining up, you are proof of concept of a conversation we just had last week, which was a girl who jumped on the show randomly and said, I want to do, essentially, she's the Elliot Cleveland of, she's like, I want to do this for gymnastics, but I don't know if that job exists. And I don't know, maybe I need three or four or five years experience before I get that. And I'm like, why is this fear? Or is this, you honestly don't think of what you have as valuable. And she's like, well, I'm just a second year student. I go, I'm not telling you to do it now. Get your education. When you graduate, do it. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, this is psychology. This has nothing to do with anatomy or physiology or biomechanics. This is psychology. And we talked to her for 3 minutes. By the end, all of her classmates were on the comments chiming in going, you can do it 100%. She was Neo from the Matrix. She's starting to believe, like, she's the one. That's what you need to instill in yourself, is you're the one.
Right. And then this is really important. So the next step, when you feel like you're ready to take action, is do it for free. There are so many people coming out, especially young people, saying, look, I deserve this. I deserve to make this money. I have this skill set. I need to be compensated in this way. That whole first trial period, the first 2-3 years, I was doing that for that school without asking for anything else, without asking for any extra money, showing up 15 minutes early to figure it out. And it took 3 years of me writing down what the formula of success was going to be. But then that's the same thing that you see. And the reason we're having this conversation is because I do it for free on social media 2 to 3 times a day. I post that much on our pages, because if you put it behind a paywall and you've got the secret that they need and the thing that's going to help transform somebody's life, but it's behind a paywall, they're not going to pay for it until you've shown them that value up front that they really need your services.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the parallels between physical therapy and marching and what you're talking about in radio. I mean, I interned for some really, really small radio stations. I interned for some really big ones, you know, where Howard Stern was, and I did it all for, in fact, I mean, you're not even doing it for free. You're paying. I mean, I had to pay for the train and pay for lunch and not work. Like, I could be working, I could be making, but I'm here carrying boxes and handing out your t-shirts for free. Did it pay off? Yeah. Cause when you be so good, they can't ignore you is what Steve Martin said. And you do it for a while for free. And all of a sudden you go, hey man, I got to move on. We can't lose you. Well, right. How do you expect me to do that? We got to keep you around. But the entire time you're just putting stuff in your bank going, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Yep. Until they say you're so good, I can't ignore you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love it. You know, I was talking to my brother like an hour ago, and he's not in healthcare at all. And he's like, at first he was like, this doesn't make any sense. And I literally just gave him two sentences about like, well, those, I have no idea what a marching athlete goes through. I'm a physical therapist. I could figure it out, but not like you. You're speaking their language. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to him about, Kate McGee and the esports athletes. She treats esports athletes. And you're like, esports athlete, what is that? I'm like, that's right. You don't know what that is. But to esports athletes, that's the world. Yeah. To marketing athletes, that's their world. The gymnasts, that's their world. And if you can talk to them in their language and solve their problems because you understand them intimately, they will beat a path to your door.
Right. Absolutely. And that increases your value to them just from a business perspective.
Right.
The people who are thinking about how do I actually make money doing that.
And you're bringing in that B word and bringing in that money, that dirty word, but it's not because if you're going to solve my problem, like, oh, take the cash. And that's what the thing is, you're not selling them. You're not flim-flamming them. That's why I love physical therapy. It's like the thing that we do is a good product. Like, right. Question me on it. If you don't think it's good, then don't come back. I'm sorry that I failed you. Not therapy. I probably failed you along the way. But making a business on something you're passionate about, like I want to, there's a lot of people out there doing this too, but let's beat that stigma to death and say, no. Being able to do that, like how great would it be if you're like, I'm waking up today. What are you doing? Just stuff I love until the sun sets. And you're going to be harder than everybody else.
Man, during the time that I toured that 1 month between job and residency, I was on planes. I was sleeping very few hours. I was skipping meals because I'm trying to catch the next flight. And I'd get there and, you know, go through my 4-hour clinic, hang out with the people afterwards and get to know their issues and their problems and where they're going in life and do it all over again. And physically that's exhausting, but I had so much joy in it that it was not something that was limiting me at all. And that's really where you're blessed to be if you can do the thing you love and find a way to make some money to be able to provide for yourself and your family in the process.
Yeah. Well, people ask me to do stuff like now for free. Like, can you help me launch a podcast for free? I'm like, I like cornflakes and rent. And they're like, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't need you to pay all the rent or all the cornflakes, but like you obviously called me. It's like that scene from Armageddon, right? Where Bruce Willis is like, I assume you sent for me because someone told you I was the best. It's like, well, I'm the best because I'm going to solve your problem. You want to put someone on an asteroid to blow something up? I'm your guy. I dig holes. And that's the thing. You shouldn't be shy about that.
And then the next step from there is when you've got your ideal audience and then when you've got your means of delivery, you got to make sure you're showing up where they are.
Yes.
There's a reason you show up in certain places.
Talk like your audience listens, listen like they talk.
Where you put yourself is not where I always put my content because I'm trying to get into or get on the screen of a kid who's somewhere between 13 and 21 and help them achieve health in their lives. And then from there, I'm also trying to get the post-professional band directors who are sitting there on Facebook and some of the, you know, platforms that tend to trend older. And sure. We're in three groups. This is something you'd probably find fascinating. We've done something called the Band Directors for Better Health group. I did not start this Facebook group. Actually, a band director 45 minutes down the road did. Health is a major problem for the directors, the person at the top, because they are working about 70 hours a week.
Wow.
People don't understand that. They're not just a normal, you know, I shouldn't even say normal. They're not working that typical schedule, sure, say a teacher might work. So they don't get to take care of themselves because they're giving to their students so much.
And they're on the field or they're at least there in practice all those crazy hours as you were talking about.
Right. And hoping that somebody brings them fast food in between so that they can eat. And so this guy started this page called Band Directors for Better Health that was just going to be a support group for other band directors and basically post his meal preps. So he, as a director, would meal prep each week and try to teach other directors how to do the same.
Solve my problem.
It built up to like 700 people in the first month. And that was less than a year ago. Now it's at 2,000.
Wow.
When we started the COVID pandemic and all the schools shut down, I had been in this group for about 8 months and had been posting free content in there, teaching directors some skills and also translating some of the things we do for students into that group. They got together and said, hey, we really want to do a 5K. And it was like, hey, let's go run a 5K right away. That was kind of the mentality. And I'm as a PT, I said, pump the brakes, please. So I took our workout systems, turned it into a 6-week podium to 5K in their language, podium, get them off the podium to being able to run a 5K after 6 weeks of training, after what really was, you know, 10 to 20 years of a career where you weren't able to train. So starting from that most sedentary level to get them there. And we did it once. I did it totally for free. There is no charge to do the actual race itself. It's ridiculous to me to charge someone to do a race in their own neighborhood.
It is a little weird.
A virtual race.
Unless you're giving me a really great shirt or a pint glass, but I'm really just buying the shirt and the pint glass, but I agree with you.
Right. So we did it for free round one, and almost 50 directors from around the country did it. And that was like March to mid-May. And then we said, look, this is gaining traction because I told all of them to post a sweaty selfie after their workouts and after their run on their personal pages. And by the next cycle, which was 2 weeks later, we had 217 directors register.
Wow.
So at the beginning of June, we started that. And then all we did was a simple t-shirt sale, like a custom ink fundraiser, because right. I'm not in the merch business. I'm not going to pretend to be in the merch business. Let the merch people do that stuff. Some people may criticize me for that or say you can do it yourself or do it some other way. No, I'm a full-time practicing physical therapist, dad, dog dad, husband, also running a business on the side. But we did that. They loved it. They ate it up. We're just started a step challenge with them. Now that they're getting into some of them doing in-person band camps, go ahead and count your steps up while you're there. Be aware of your health so that what the habits I've developed and or the habits that we've developed over the past 12 weeks with these two 5K launches, you can actually transition back into your school year with those habits in a way that's achievable.
You're in their head. I mean, you've created that avatar, as we talked about in the last episode with Craig Pfeiffer, in terms of like, hey, step into your audience's mind. You know, why do I, do episodes at 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night? Because people are in clinic all day. I'm not doing these live, you know, at 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night by accident, because the people that I'm trying to talk to, they're somewhere else. But also, why do I make my episodes on demand? I mean, you're thinking from their shoes and saying, what do you want to accomplish? And if I can help you get there, I'll do that.
Right. And business-wise, you know, band director is the person that makes the decision at the end of the day to hire me as a clinician for their school. So that's not my intent. I am happy with the emails and the messages we've received that said, I've lost 10 pounds this summer after not being able to lose any the previous 10 years. Wow. That's where I get my satisfaction. And then if they say, by the way, I'd love to have you work with my students, then that's all the more rewarding.
Yeah. There you go. You got it. We got to have you back, man. I just like your mindset and your hustle, and you're thinking exactly like your audience thinks. You know, I say, listen like your audience talks, talk like they listen, but you're thinking like they think, which is probably the next level. We got to get that on a t-shirt. Let's put that on a t-shirt. I'm talking to my assistant.
I apologize if there's been like heavy breathing in the phone. Sam has been at the mic the entire time.
Well, so. Jasper's outside the door. I can hear him pawing.
Oh, you hear Jack too.
Yeah, he's outside. But let's do three questions. You ready for three questions?
Still.
Let's do three questions from our friends at Aries. All right, three questions from our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing. That's AureusMedical.com. That's the hand sign. And if you don't know, that's the hand sign for hashtag travel PT. If you're looking for a position somewhere in the 50 United States plus DC, I got yelled at for not including DC. They do have DC as well. All settings. If you're graduating, if you're taking the NPTE today, actually, I saw a lot of people on social media. Good luck when you graduate and you got that license. Feel free to let it move you about the country. You got that PT license? You tell it where to go. So, Aureus, the positions in all 50 states and DC, all settings. Don't just think outpatient orthopedics. They've got all settings. Whatever you'd like to do, they've got it for you. AureusMedical.com. First question on three questions is a where question. You're in South Carolina, but if you could, I mean, you've traveled a lot. If you could go anywhere for 3 months and do whatever you want to do, where would you be going?
I'm going to the Caribbeans, some of the Keys, maybe Isla Mirada. I'm a beach bum. So when I moved back up here for residency, yes, we had a child and closer to family. I've told them if I ever make it big, we're all getting a big place together on the beach. And
go to the beach, get the sailboat in the shirt. Second question is a what question. What's something that you've read, watched, or downloaded, or whatever, listened to, anything, book, podcast, movie that you think the audience would get value out of?
I have a conversation with my mom. She was my gifted and talented teacher in elementary school, third, fourth, and fifth grade. She thinks they've missed on diagnosing me with dyslexia at that age because I'm such a bad reader. But I have started to get into reading as a business owner. Profit First is a great book that taught me more of the mindset of the finance side. The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
I got that one on the shelf. Yep.
Fantastic. And then what I'm digging into right now is a book by family counselor. It's called Think Differently, Lead Differently. And the big premise is great leaders don't change the wrong thing. So there's a lot of people right now who in their business are whatever that is due to, because we are going through so much as a society, they're changing the wrong thing in their business, and that's going to yield the wrong results. Whether that's at the surface level, or they identify throughout the book several different levels of depth within your business, whatever that is, you got to make sure you're changing the right thing.
Change the right thing. I like mindset books like that. Have you read Building a Story Brand?
No.
You dig it. Like everything that you just mentioned, everything you just talked about, like you're actually speaking this guy Donald Miller's language. And so you read that halfway through, you're going to go, oh man, you're putting words to the things that I'm doing. Building a Story Brand. And it's one of those books that you'll read in like a day. Like it sucks you in. He's just an easy writer. Like
I need the quick reads. I need the, like I said, the third grade.
It's like one of these books, but it's for, pound for pound, word for word, Building a Story Brand. For a therapist or a business owner, doesn't matter, because even if you're a therapist at someone else's clinic, you're a brand. That's a good one that I always recommend. Last question on three questions is a who question. Who is someone the audience should know more about?
In life, like in...
I leave it open-ended on purpose. Who is someone the audience should know more about?
There's a guy I've been listening to a lot right now, and not everybody's going to agree with this because he takes stances on certain things. His name is Thomas Sowell. He is a 90-year-old black economist that has seen the U.S. economy for almost a century. Long
time, right.
So he's got some very wise sayings and thoughts, and I listen to those, or have been listening to those. Also, like I try to listen to things on both sides of the political spectrum, and I try to take in all sides of arguments and discussions to figure out exactly.
Make a decision for yourself. Who would have thought that?
Right. So
novel idea.
We get enough of. So maybe we should talk about that for a minute. There's a lot of people that just click that retweet or that share button without actually doing some research on it.
Yeah, there was a thing done by, I think it was the Washington Post, where they literally had an article posted, and they said in the article, they said, this is a test. Do not share this article. And the article got shared like, 80,000 times or something like that. It was like, okay, so most people share without reading. In fact, they just share blindly. That is three questions. Let's do the parting shot. We're going to do the parting shot with Elliot right here on the show. I like this part. I can't wait for your parting shot. Parting shot brought to you by our friends at the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, orthopt.org. Running a contest right now. If you've been on our social media accounts at PT Pinecast, they're giving you, if you're the winner, access to any of their courses. Last time we did this, we said we were giving away Current Concepts, which is really their OCS prep course. Now they're saying winner gets, it's buffet, wide open, pick one, your choice. So find that on our social media website, ptpinecast.com, orthopt.org, leaders in orthopedic physical therapy. Bring you the parting shot. Parting shot's really just your mic drop moment. If you're going to leave the audience with one sentiment or idea, quote, whatever, what would it be?
Figure out who you want to serve, how you want to serve them, and then make that product worthwhile for them.
Boom. Short, sweet to the point, but I don't know if you could say it better than that right there. Elliot, the socials and everything like that looks like Marching Health on Instagram and Twitter, marchinghealth.com. Definitely want to have you back. Just love your mindset, love your hustle. If I was picking a team, Elliot's going to be on it, man. I like it. I mean, the reason you're successful so far and whatever your definition of success, it sounds like you are successful in your definition. It's because you are putting yourself in the mind and the language and the thought process of the people you wanted to serve, just like you said for that parting shot. So thanks for coming on the show. We'll have you back very, very soon, okay?
Thank you for having me, Jimmy.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.